No, but it's just such a blessing for me. God is awesome. I know you know that. But the past couple of weeks, God has just been working in my heart once again. Yes, it happens to the pastor too. And you know, God is just opening my eyes to Him once more. Hallelujah. And I was just so blessed, you know, this morning. I don't know if you were here. You know, God is just, and I was trusting the Lord for just Him coming and just inhabiting the praises of His people again, and just minister to us, and that's what God did this morning, and that was just so awesome. So God is just ticking a couple of my boxes for me, but more than that, I went and I played golf with my heavy and his girlfriend, brother-in-law. For those of you who do not understand the Afrikaans joke there, swaar, it's my heavy, if you translate it directly. But anyway, so, and I knew it was a little bit out of their comfort zones, what happened this morning, because it was their I think their first time here. And hallelujah, one of those where you just say, ah, praise the Lord. Anyway, so afterwards I just asked and I said, listen, how did you experience this morning? And because that's the stupid thing that many times we don't do. We bring people and then we leave them. You know, we need to engage them and say, listen, do you understand what happened there? Do you have questions? Ask me. Anyway, so I asked my Evie and they were just so blessed, you know. And he said, no, that was great. He really enjoyed it. And I asked him about the lady that sang in tongues and, you know, told them about what happened there, just a little bit, not very much detail. But the great thing, and that's just my long intro for this evening, is that he said to me that, you know, it's different here. Speaking about Shofar Mama's body. He says it's different when I enter this church than the other churches. And I'm not knocking other churches, please. And the difference is here the people greet you and they speak to you. So I'm just so blessed. And I just want to say hallelujah. And I know most of the people aren't here. But thank you for listening. You know, I've been hammering it and all of that. And it's working. People are experiencing love when they get here. What else can I say? Praise the Lord. So I'm really pleased. My sermon tonight, not to bed. And I know, yes, before some of you crucify me. In April of this year, I preached it in the Afrikaans service near Bethany. So if you are feeling that I'm repeating myself, then you are welcome to leave and go and have some lovely coffee with your wife. But I just felt, you know, the season that God is taking us through at the moment, that this is fitting for tonight. So please bear with me. And you can't read the Bible of the Word of God and not see anything new, even if you read the same scripture again. But anyway, so. And I won't be long tonight because we need to get home, you know. The wife is at home. It's not a grap. Oh. Just a joke. Looks like the people are a bit stuffed tonight, yeah. But anyway. Okay, you came to stay. I'm glad. Now, as a pastor, I have a wonderful privilege, just like you guys have. It's weird how when you start out in a job, no matter what your job is that you get conditioned by that job. You might not agree with me, but you know, I sold policies before I became a pastor. For 4 years, I was drilled, very drilled, and I can safely say, because I was there, that people that are in marketing, they tend to be of the more selfish people around. And please, if you are in marketing, do not be offended. I will clarify. Because you will enter into a situation like this, and it is drilled into you. And you see lovely people, and you are yourself a lovely person. But your head's ticking, your head's saying, I need to get some numbers here. I need to phone some people, sell some policies. So I'm saying anybody that works for commission, you know, you might tend to be a little bit selfish. And I only saw this after I went out of that business. So if you're still in there, just don't let it get into your heart, because you are being very nice. But it's with a hidden agenda. It's not so cool. But anyways, I'm not there anymore, so I can speak about those people now. But now I'm a pastor, and it's the same thing. You know, now my policies are sitting in front of me tonight. And, you know, especially when we get to the end of the year and where we are now, you know, I can see that people are tired. I'm not doof. And then my heart just goes out to those people, my flock, my sheepies. And, you know, it's just so into me. And I wish I said, I could just, you know, kind of take this and wrap them in cotton wool. And if you've been here this morning, when you see your wife going through hell, then it's a bit more challenging. But it was good, because God just centered me again, brought my focus to where it needs to be. We all need that sometimes. Tonight I'm going to read from Psalm 23. I could have chosen 119, but I did not. I chose 23 so that we can go home tonight. It says there, "The Lord is my shepherd." Hallelujah. Now David writes this, and you must know when David writes this, he knows what he's talking about. Because just like I was a salesman, I'm a pastor, he was a shepherd. Okay? So his whole life since he was born revolved around this thing. So he understood it. And I come from the R, raised there. Didn't finish matric there, went matric to the Free State. But in the R, when you're outside, and here it's a little bit better than in the city, but still, when you get outside and you look south, where's the city? That way. Okay. My wife always says I don't have direction. I'm very offended with that, because I'm a man. But anyway. A Garmin, GPS, let's do it. Anyway, my wife, they drove to a place in Cape Town on the GPS and they did not arrive. So, I do not trust the GPS that much. They put in the coordinates that was given to them. So let's say the people said, gave them the wrong coordinates. Anyway, now I'm totally off my story. Back to the shepherd man. In the R, you do not see this. I don't know how many thousands of kilowatts that gets burned in the sky. Okay? So, when you stand outside, you can see some of the stars, but then you see this glow coming from the city. You can even see that glow in Sutherland. I don't know if you've been to Sutherland. But if you're in Sutherland, I think it's about 400 kilometers from here. Estimate, rough one. You can see the glow of the city. Kilowatts, anyway. In David's day, no kilowatts. Nothing. And the R, same thing. I can remember once, for those of you old enough to remember, in the 80s, Halley's Comet came through. Hallelujah for Halley's Comet. That got me into astronomy. The right one, eh? Okay. Astrology is not good. Okay, so, and what happened was, one day, okay, it was going past. You could have seen it a couple of weeks or days. I don't know how long it was, but long ago. And then they decided, no. The Friday, this was, let's say, the Wednesday or whatever, they're going to put up all the lights of the town so that everybody can see Halley's Comet perfectly. Put off the lights. Halley's Comet wasn't there anymore. It was gone. But what I can remember is when there are no lights around, and you look up into those heavens, then it is something special. You know, when David writes these psalms, and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd," and I can remember those days, because in the R, there's a lot of sheep, and a lot of people that tend the sheep, so let's say they're shepherd, not Buddha. And when they sit there, or when you're on one of their farms, it's kind of easy to know God, to feel Him. His invisible attributes are very present when you are in nature like that. And when there's no kilowatts being pumped into the air, you can see it. So that's where David comes from. And he knows that God, you know, the Lord is his shepherd. Now, there's a difference between shepherds, true ones, and hirelings. And a hireling is somebody that does not really own the sheep. So tonight, I want to encourage you once again. You are owned by Jesus if you have given your life to Him. He paid for you. So Jesus is not a hireling. What does a hireling do? A hireling does what a hireling does. He works for the money. That's all. When trouble comes, he runs far away. And, you know, David wasn't one of those. So he also understood that. But we read about a story there in the New Testament. I haven't put the scripture down here. I'm just quoting. It's not regarding shepherding, but God says, or that scripture says, Jesus tells a story about this man going into a far land, leaving his vineyard to some people. And when he leaves the vineyard, then he sends his son back, and you know the story. He sends his son to come and take some of the produce, but because they are hirelings and people with a hidden agenda, some policy salesman working there, they want what is, you know, in their greed to have. So, you know the story, they kill, steal, and destroy. But they are hirelings, not shepherd of the sheep. David understands this shepherding thing. Because when he goes up against Goliath, being a shepherd for how many years, what he quotes when he speaks to the king is what he did while he was shepherding the sheep. When the lion came, he killed them. Hallelujah. When the bear came, did the same. He was a shepherd that knew, listen, the sheep are more important than moi. So when I look at you guys, you know, God is very faithful and He puts that in, I hope, for all pastors' hearts, but in my heart, definitely. And when I see my people just dragging along, looking like Danel said, you know, all the problems that are facing us and staring down, just taking away our joy, then I want to start preaching. So I'm preaching tonight. He goes on, he says, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord knows what we want and what we need. And I've just seen it again through these past couple of weeks. You know, many times what we want is we want an outcome to a certain situation. We need deliverance now, God. What we need is an entirely different story. You need to be in that place for a couple of weeks where you spend time with your shepherd, your Savior. Because you need to connect with Him. But He knows what you want and He knows what you need and what you need. Now in our affluent society that we've got, sometimes stuff gets in the way. Life gets in the way. There's a song by Sister Hazel. You can go and listen to that song. Life gets in the way. Nice song to listen to. They're not saved. Cool song anyway. But life got in the way. When you are in that place where money and your security is in your stuff, it's difficult. You know, God is challenging me a lot. You know, because, yes, God has blessed us more than most. And then I need to get back to this place. You know, where is my security? Where does my security lie? Is it in my stuff? Or is it in the giver of the stuff? And I know we hear it a lot. We cannot hear it enough. Because it's very easy when things go really well to just cruise along and not worry about tomorrow because I didn't need to. Where's your security? Is it in God or is it in your stuff? It shouldn't be in your stuff, or it can make, is it in somebody else other than Jesus? Who's your security? Your wife? Your kids? It's weird, you know. When those things are there, it kind of just shifts your focus and you don't get as much download from God as necessary. But if we set our hearts on things, stuff, relationships, oh, if I can just get that wife of mine. If you set your heart on things, you will always be disappointed. And you will never be satisfied. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes, like just before this time I went through now, you get to a place where where you kind of feel empty, even though you know Jesus. Okay? And I see it in myself, you know, and my mother always said, she gave me some nuggets while she was still alive, okay, that I still remember today. She said, my boy, if you are longing for people that you do not know, you are longing for Jesus. And many times I catch myself sitting, and now I'm feeling restless, you know. What can I eat? Pizza. Pizza sounds nice. Then I eat some pizza. Then I'm sitting there again. Nah, I think I must go and rent a DVD. Go and get the DVD, watch a DVD, and then I need some Coke. Not the sniff type, the drinking type. And you laugh, but it happens quite easily. That you get to a place where you're sitting and you're longing for things and wanting things and something's not so lekker inside you. You're longing for Jesus. Your Abba, Father. That's who you are longing for. So maybe you're in that place, and especially when I speak about what I speak about tonight, when people get tired and there's legitimate reasons for that, I know. And that's why the sermon title is not a bed. Because our natural inclination is when I'm tired, I want to, and I'm now speaking like tired, not physically only, okay? Then our natural inclination is to, I'll just get into bed and I'll start filling me because I need to feel better. But God says, listen, hello, Daval, hello, Isaiah. And then when you start getting your focus right again, you know, it's kind of like all those wants and needs and stuff that you think you need to have now just fades away. When that person, Jesus, becomes your security. Because the thing that you look to for your security will be in control of your life. Can I say that again? The thing that you look to find your security will be in control of your life. So if your security lies in riches and that thing will be in control of your life. So whatever you're thinking, whatever you're doing will always be directed by this thing. I'd rather have a loving Savior be in control of my life than a heartless mammon that just takes and takes and takes. And it's not just mammon. I'm just using those two because God did. Now, He makes me lie down in green pastures. Just a little bit of history here, or not a history lesson, more like a farming lesson. I did not know this until I read a book about this Psalm 23 and the sheep. Because Jesus speaks about the sheep. But many of us do not know how smart sheep can be when you look at them. They're not smart. Sheep are really stupid. But when you look about Jesus' analogy of the sheep, then it gets smart. All right? Do you follow? But it says there, He makes me lie down in green pasture. So it says, Jesus says, David saying, His shepherd that knows what he wants and needs makes him to lie down in green pastures. Rest. That's where we're getting to. I know. You don't need to be a rocket scientist. But that rest, that bed that you're looking for, it happens in a specific way. That's where the sheep comes in. Okay? Because sheep do not lie down unless four requirements are met. I did not know this. Who knew this? You didn't listen when I preached it in Afrikaans. Until four things are met. The first one. Sheep are really timid creatures. Timid means very, very afraid. So, when they are afraid of anything, they will not lie down. Have you looked at the sheep lately? They're just where I live, you know. Just I see sheep every day. Oh, and some water on my feet. But a sheep does not have very large fangs. It cannot defend itself. So the only recourse that a sheep has got is to run. And the weird thing about sheep is they can be very frightened because they're so timid by a rabbit. And then what happens is when they're not in that peaceful state and they start running. Okay, so there's a rabbit and then one just out of his peripheral vision sees this maybe rabbit. He starts running that way. Then the others stay in their peripheral vision. Someone is running that way. I must run too. That way. So then the sheep all run that way. They don't know why. Because they're just running. And then the best part of it all is if there's a ditch over there and they run into the ditch. You know, Dolphy just at the back is not going to stop because he sees his brother falling into the ditch. Nah. They all fall into the ditch until the ditch is full and then the rest run over them. Sheep. And you know what the best part is? Jesus likens us to sheep. Hallelujah. But David understands this when he writes this. Because he knows that when sheep lie down, that is when they are free from all fear. Okay? All fear has been taken away from them. But then, there's a second thing. I know I told you there's four. But they are very sociable creatures, these sheep. And they will not lie down unless they are free from friction in the group. What do they call this? Anyway. There's a pecking order with sheep as well, even though they have no beaks. But usually there's like this old lady. I'm looking at nobody. And she says, she's kind of like the boss. And when you get one like that, She's been around for a while. And she gets really silly. So what happens is, somebody will go and lie down there. And it's in like all these kind of prison movies. The new guy, when he goes and sits there, then the bully comes and he says, "This is my seat." And then he says, "Okay, you can take it." And then he goes and sits over there, and then the same bully comes and says, "This is my sheep. Ach, my seat." I'm sheep. Same thing with sheep. And she would go and bump, and there's friction in the group. You know, if those things are in your life, friction, we are just like sheep. Hallelujah. When there's friction between you and somebody, then you will not enter into that rest. That's why Jesus said, listen, in Matthew 5 and onwards, when you bring your offering, and there's something, it's not about the offering, okay? It's just about the heart attitude. When you bring anything, and you've got something that you have against somebody else, leave your offering there. That was very heavy for the Jewish mind, to leave your offering. Not sacrifice it, because I mean, that's why you come. Jesus says, then you go to that person, and you say, listen, my brother, let's fix this thing. Otherwise, you will not enter into God's rest. Maybe you're there. Maybe you've got some unfinished business that needs to be taken care of. Third one, when sheep are tormented by fleas, and I wanted to make a joke, but I'm not, because that person is going to be very offended with me, and I will not do it. When tormented by flies or parasites, sheep will not lie down. It's like a mosquito. Do you know a mosquito? I hate them. God made them. Hallelujah. When I lie down in the evening, close my, all the doors closed, all the lights are off, I'm in my bed. And you can check, you can try this. As you lie like this, and you hear that first. You know, I've tried really hard, because I know it's not that bad, it will just itch for a while. But I cannot fall asleep, because I hear this thing. Now I've learned. When that first comes, I put on the light and I kill it. So that I can sleep, rest. Same thing with sheep. And finally, sheep cannot rest if they are free or not free from a fear that they will have hunger. Again, let's bring it back to us. I'll leave the sheep for now. For us, hunger spiritually is where you get to when you start trying to fix yourself with the pizza and the Coke and the DVDs. When you try to fill that void, you've got a spiritual hunger. The only person that can give you replenishment is Jesus. But we are so stupid and silly. We would run to all kinds of stuff to fix ourselves. But we don't get to the place where we need to be. Now, when you have this void in your... What do you do? What do you do? Where's your feeding mechanism? Where's it at? Good question to ask. Because you know, when you feel like that, where do you run to? And I know the biblical answer is Jesus, but do you do that? Do you really go to Him and get your replenishment? Or do you just kind of fake it to ease your conscience? David points out and says, my soul thirsts for you. If your soul is thirsting, then you will be restless. My soul thirsts for you, Lord. I don't know about you guys, but if I don't have water for a day, I will become quite restless. If you do not get your thirst replenished and your hunger at Jesus, you will not find rest for your soul. Then Jeremiah puts it well. He says, my people have forsaken me. That's now God prophesying, saying, yeah, my people have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Have you dug some wells for yourself? Because when you get to that place where we are now, where many people are really tired, it's been a long year, it's been a rough year, it's been hectic. Do you go to God, the living well, in times like this? Or do you dig for yourself your own little cistern, a broken one, own little hole, get some water there? Heard the story the other day. God is just so great. There's a guy in Muslim country. I don't know which one, but pick one. Missionaries goes in there and he gets saved. Now, if you're a Muslim in a Muslim country and you get saved, you've got a problem. You will not have any family or friends left and you might very well be killed. But this guy was kind of a good guy, a leader in the town. And the people didn't kill him, but they just broke all ties with him. So what happened was, they could not get food, they could not get water. Now water is a problem. You need water more than you need food. You can go for a while without food, you cannot go very long without water. And they weren't getting water from anybody. They were not allowed to go to the well that was down the street, because they have now become Christians. Okay, they're not killed, but anyway, they will die somewhere. That's what the people might have thought. So what does this guy do? He has got no other choice but to dig a well in his own house. So he starts digging. And, hallelujah, God is great. He finds water. And then what happens? Because nobody wanted to listen to him. Nobody wanted to engage him. The well in town dries up. No water for the town. He's got the water in his house. And all of a sudden, everybody has to come to him to get water, living water. And the whole town turned, and Jesus is great. Hallelujah. But anyway, where you at? Where do you get your water, your living water? He restores my soul. David knows this. That when his soul is out of sync, wanting to fill it with stuff, he knows that his shepherd will restore his soul. You cannot do it yourself. You cannot restore your own soul. I know that you will try, and we do try. But you cannot restore your own soul if there's something wrong there. It's like Maynard, and I've already told this story once. He's yay big. He's turning one in the week that comes. Hallelujah. Time flies. Anyway. But he's less. No, he's kind of the same still when it comes to this point that I want to make. Maynard cannot bring his own soul back to peace. It will remain in pieces if it were not for daddy or mommy. Because the only thing that he can do is cry and scream. If he's hungry, if he's thirsty, that's the only mechanism. If he's tired, the only mechanism that he knows. He needs mommy and daddy to bring him to that place of peace. We do need that too. God needs to bring us back to that place of peace in our souls. We need to turn to him. And David knows this. In 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. You know, David wrote this psalm and many other things. But in 1 Samuel 30 verse 6, we read, "Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters." This is now when all his sons and daughters and wives were taken away while they were in battle. And then, that's a great place for us to fall into despair. When all the circumstances around you, like Danel said this morning also, is against you. Like it was here against David. What do you do? David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. You know, that's something that you need to practice. It doesn't just happen. It's something that is a discipline in your life. And God is kind of starting again with me with this discipline thing. Because in our instant society, it's very difficult for us to come into discipline. Because discipline is a bad word in our society. But discipline, it's the things you do by disciplining yourself. Those disciplines that you do and practice are the things that gives you the power to do something that is greater than the discipline. Now that's a heavy one. But it's like toonlere. And I've asked a question, but I cannot remember what it is. Scales. Ha! I have remembered it. Scales. Somebody that plays the piano does scales. That's disciplines. They do it over and over and over again. Why? Because scales are so beautiful to listen to. No. My sister did that when she was little. And I could not bear it when she started with that. Dun, 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 dun. Ah! But that discipline enables us to listen to people doing Beethoven, Bach, all of those great musicians, which are things that are wonderful to listen to. Without the scales, none of those wonderful things. So God is just bringing me back to a place, said Deval, if you want me actively involved in your life, get your disciplines right. Get to a place where you come and yet you know, like David knows, that I am strengthened in the Lord Himself. Now, Psalm 27 verse 14. How do we get to that place where we are restored? It says there, wait in faith on the Lord. Psalm 27 verse 14. Again, David writing. And be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, this wait thing has confused many people. They think they must just, you know, do nothing. It's not about doing nothing. Waiting on God is just getting to the place where you can experience what God wants to tell you. In whichever way you want to do that, that's fine. Get to that place, and then there, you wait. You sit there, and you let God speak to you. Many of us are like babbling machines, because we think we need to impress God with our multitude of words, and our needs and our wants. Hallelujah, thank you Lord for this and this, but I need... Amen. And then you're out of there again. You need to spend time with your shepherd. And then there is a thing as a spirit of heaviness also. That I understand because I've been there. And the Bible says in Isaiah 61 verse 3, it says, "For the spirit of heaviness put on your garment of praise." And when that heaviness is upon you, the last thing, trust me, the last thing that you want to do is praise God. But God says, when the spirit of heaviness comes upon you, Your way out is by praising me. But Lord, I don't have CDs to do that. You don't need CDs to do that. You can just say, God, thank you for that tree. It's a beautiful tree. Let's go into the tree thing. But you can start praising God for anything. As long as you praise Him. A good thing, a good discipline to have. And I'm starting to get there. Go through your Bible, and every time you read something of God, attributes of His great things, write it down. Start memorizing it. When somebody tells you again, let's praise God, then you're not sitting there like, okay, what can I praise God for now? Maybe there is something, yes. But if you can start and you can say, Lord, you are the lily of the valley. You are the rose of Sharon. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. You will forever be. You are the strong tower. You will be there for me always. When I run into you, I will be safe. And you can paraphrase this thing as you like. But that's where you start. Biblically, knowing that God has said all of these things about Him, we don't know that. And when we fall into that trap and sit there despaired, now all of a sudden I can't think of anything to praise God for. But if you have done some disciplines, then you can start by praising God for who He is in the Bible. The words, the things that He's spoken to us about Himself, revealed to us. Pastor Ross from Tigerberg, he's been more diligent for a longer time than I in this. And he does this just naturally. You know, it's so great to just listen to it. All of those things that he says about God, that is in the Bible. But after he's said all of it, you just want to praise God. For God is good, great, awesome. I'm finishing tonight. I want to play us a song. And it's there. And this evening, if you are a bit restless, in a place where you feel that, you know, I'm not really getting there, then I'm going to play this song and I'm going to trust that God just speaks to you. Open your heart. You can listen to the words. You can kneel down. You can sit. I don't care. I know that you are saved. I hope that all of you are saved sitting here. If you're not, then speak to me afterwards, please. If you do not know Jesus. So let's stand together and then let God minister to you through the song tonight. Bring what is on your heart before Him. Bring what is holding you back before Him. Father, Lord, we want to rest in your shelter, Lord God. Lord, we know, Lord God, that many times things in life happen, Lord, and Lord, we get really tired, Lord, and Lord, we want to fill ourselves, Lord, with junk and stuff, Lord God, because we want to feel better. I know all of us, Lord God, want to feel better when we feel like that, Lord. And Father, forgive us, Lord God, for not turning to you, Lord, for not finding our rest, Lord, in you. Lord, that we don't get to that place, Lord God, where you just fill us, Lord God, with your living water, with the wellsprings, Lord God, of eternal life. And Lord, where we become a place, Lord God, for other people to come and just receive, Lord, because we have received from you, Lord, the eternal Creator. And Father, we just come tonight, Lord God, and we bring our hearts before you, Lord. I bring everyone, Lord God, here, whose hearts at the moment, Lord God, are feeling weak and tired, Lord. And Lord, just in that place, Lord God, where they feel despair, Lord God. Father, I just rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. And Father, I ask, Lord, that you come. And Lord, by your Spirit, Lord God, just pick us up, Lord God, as we start doing, Lord God, the disciplines that you've given us, Lord, to come out of these places, Lord God. Father, to put on a garment of praise, Lord God, for the spirit of heaviness, Lord. Lord, to make time, Lord God, to get into your sanctuary, Lord God, daily, where we can be replenished, Lord God, where we can get our daily bread. And Father, we honor you for that, Lord God. Thank you that you have made a way for us and that we can do that. Thank you, Jesus, for being our good shepherd. And Lord, that even if we are silly like sheep sometimes, Lord, you love us all the more. And you give us, Lord God, everything that we need. And everything that pertains to life and godliness is in you and you alone. And we bless you for that. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have any prayer needs, if you're feeling that you need some prayer tonight, please come to the front. I will be here and there will be some people here with me who will pray for you. But the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you as you go into this week. And be a blessing. Do not be put down, because our God is greater. And He's good. Thanks for coming tonight. The Lord bless you.